Blog Talk Radio.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. So mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to take rest. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Do you believe it?
I don't know, man. Sometimes I wonder, you know, nothing, everything old is new again. That song goes back to like 1964, 1965, 60 some years ago, practically. What's changed? What has changed, man? James Mostick here, conservative perspective on the on Patriot Nation Radio. We are on the Patriot. Sometimes it runs together. Okay, James Mostick, a conservative perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio at blogtalkradio.com. We do it live twice a week. We do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 hours on Tuesdays, 1 hour on Thursdays, back-to-back with El Guapo, the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, with Patriot Nation Radio Live. Wednesdays, the American Allegiance program with host Kevin White, the man behind Brownie Fox Publications. These guys, and a couple other things, and I think Kevin talked about it last night, so I'm going to go, he said he was going to, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it this evening as well. Patriot Nation has a couple of hosts getting ready to start programming here with us. Aaron Barker is one of them. And hopefully, it's looking about like it's going to be time for old Pete to call in here. Pete Serafine from Liberty Lighthouse and Liberty Minute is going to be coming on to talk with us a little bit about some of the things that he sees going on in the world and what he thinks are the seminal events of today. Because you know what? I mean, it's just, oh, Biden's got the cooties. Did you guys see that? Biden's got the COVID, man. He's been vaccinated like 68 times and got 146 boosters. You know, he's had so much. They've changed his RNA messaging so much that I think he's got an eyeball growing out of the back of his head. It's crazy, but he's got COVID. A year ago, old Joe, come on, man, told us that if we got vaccinated, we were gonna get the cooties. The Rona was a thing of the past. All I gotta do is get vaccinated and boosted a couple times, maybe another vaccine, and then a couple of boosters, and at some point you're probably gonna have to have another vaccine. And okay, well, you get the idea. And bang, there he is. Old Joe's got cooties, man. He's got, and hopefully here he is. Oh, good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping this is our guest, and I think it is. Pete Serafine, host of Liberty Lighthouse and Liberty Minute, joins us tonight. And again, as I was saying earlier, Pete is also going to be bringing his top drawer programming to Patriot Nation, and we're really happy to have him here. Welcome first, Pete, to A Conservative's Perspective, and more importantly, welcome to the Patriot Nation Radio family.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be in part of another network. I mean, Patriot Nation is a fantastic name.
Thanks a lot. Pete, you know, we know you're the host of Liberty Lighthouse and Liberty Minute, and I want to talk about those things, and I want to talk about where people can find you beyond here as well. The first thing I want to ask you in terms of was there one seminal event, or was it a series of things that made you answer this call? And by that, I mean doing what you do, bringing information and bringing news to folks as fundamentally as a citizen journalist.
Well, it started for me. I've always leaned to the conservative side of the aisle, but I was never really involved in politics in any way, shape, or form until New York and Virginia decided that they were going to allow abortions right up to the moment of birth, and Virginia even, you know, even possibly afterwards. That to me just seemed absolutely crazy, and I felt I had to do something. And you know, I'm not college educated. I don't have a big following or a big network of people, and I thought, well, one thing I could do is write a book. So I wrote a short book, sold maybe 100 copies or something like that. Started to blog, and the blogging turned into podcasting at the urging of coworkers and friends. And the podcast, joined Mojo 50 Radio and then World Broadcast Network WBN 324. And then I wrote a second book, and I started doing the Liberty Minute weekday mornings, news headlines in about a minute. And I started initially doing those to try to get more attention for Liberty Lighthouse, the show, or more people to go to my website or something like that. And it turned out that the Liberty Minute is far more popular than anything else I've ever done.
I wonder, and this is no reflection, but I'm just wondering if it has anything to do with, I don't want to say short attention span, because that's not really it, but we live in this high gear, turbocharged society, and especially in electronic media, where people are constantly gleaning, and if they can find the right compact, easily digestible aggregate that they can go to, they do, and they stay with it because they begin to count on it.
Now, I really think it's the attention span thing. I think it's the same reason that TikTok is so ridiculously popular, is because of the shortness of the videos. I can put up a Liberty Minute video, and I do put them on TikTok. Until recently, I'd put a video up, and I'd have 2,000 views a day, sometimes as high as 10,000. But I'd say average around 2,000. But I put up a full, you know, hour-long broadcast, and I get like 200. And it was just hilarious to me that the thing that I had started to do as promotion for the other thing is the thing that basically took over.
It is kind of funny, but you know, and you never know how this stuff is going to work out. You really don't. And I guess you got to, what was the old saying? Dance with the date that brung you. And if that's where you have your most effective, and I know you're not going to change anything, but it's odd that people would do that. And there's probably people that have never heard your show, but will listen to the Liberty Minute or find that every single day.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
That's crazy. Well, Pete, let me ask you this. From your horizon, and you know, I think that right now, in this I don't know, 6-8 year vacuum, this window of time, we seem to have faced more existential threats from within and as well as without, I think probably more than in any other time in our country. And you have been an observer of these things. Clearly, you can't do what you're doing as well as you do without having that ability. What are the things to you that we need to be paying the closest attention to in terms of the threats from within, and then as a follow-up from our foreign policy standpoint?
My core says that the thing that we need to pay most attention to is the U.S. Constitution. And
right.
Anything that doesn't fit into the U.S. Constitution needs to be stopped. I am a constitutionalist. I'm registered to the Constitution Party, the political party, you know, one of the five political parties in this country. We do not have a two-party system. That is a lie that's being perpetuated by those two controlling parties. We have a five-party system currently in the United States. There are five nationally recognized political parties, but two of them have had been in control for so long that they've perpetuated the lie that it's a two-party system. But anyway, my most recent crusade, the thing that I'm working on the hardest and the most right now, is to bring attention to H.R. 46, the One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm not, and I hope you're going to tell us about it.
I'd love to.
It sounds self-explanatory, but please, yeah, go ahead.
It is. For once, there's a bill in Congress that the title of it is the explanation. It's just what it says, the One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act. It is a one-page bill that says that any bill in the House can only deal with one subject. Any amendments added to that bill have to deal directly with that subject. It also says that the title of the bill has to accurately describe the purpose of the bill. And it says that no appropriations bill can go change unrelated law. You can't add an amendment to the, you know, defense spending bill to change healthcare laws.
Right.
For example, in my opinion, passage of H.R. 46, the One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act, would be the greatest legislative accomplishment for we the people since the Bill of Rights in 1791.
Okay, now who and let us be realistic. What are the chances on something like this going through and being successful?
Not a snowball's chance in hell without without millions of Americans screaming that it be done.
Well, and that's something. And in order for millions of Americans to do that, they have to be informed. And
exactly.
One of the things that I've been preaching, and you know, here I am in the pulpit, and I'm going to turn around, I'm going to look at the deacon, and I'm going to say to you, if you really do want to affect change in this country, it's going to come from an informed and disseminating electorate.
Right, like our founders intended.
And that's the objective. That's what has to be achieved.
Right. So I've built a page on my own website, my website being liberty-lighthouse.com. If you add a /HR46 after that, liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46, that takes you to a page where you can read the entire text of HR 46. You can see all the short little cutesy videos I've done regarding HR 46. You can see the video I did on the Daily Mojo, the interview I did on the Daily Mojo about HR 46. You can also read the two blog articles that I've written on HR 46. And you can click, this is the important part, you can click the sign the petition button. I've created a petition on change.org demanding a vote on HR 46.
Excellent. That's great.
The history of the bill.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, please.
So this is the 117th Congress.
Right.
The last Congress, the 116th Congress, is when this bill was initially introduced. And it was sent to the Judiciary Committee to die. And that's what it did. They sent it to the Judiciary Committee, and it stayed there until the end of session. So then on the very first day of this Congress, the 117th Congress, Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona reintroduced the bill. 3 months later, it was sent to the Judiciary Committee. So it's been sitting in the Judiciary Committee now for a year and 2 months with no intentions of ever coming out of Judiciary. And the funny thing about it is if you read the bill, you see the simple language of the one-page bill that anybody with a 10th grade reading level can understand, kind of like our Constitution, you will understand that there is absolutely no reason that this bill had to be sent to any committee. There's no legal – this could be done by the House Rules Committee without passing it into law, but of course that will never happen either. There's no reason for it to be in a committee other than to stop it from passage.
So let's fast forward, and we're just going to say, for the purposes of our discussion here, you and I,
okay,
there are tremendous advances. We clean clocks in the midterms. We clean clocks. Maybe we get both houses.
Sounds great.
What do you think happens then? And it does. And the other thing that bothers me about that, and, you know, you hear it all the time on these, you know, November's coming and there are ominous drum beats and it's all so serious. And that's great. And I'm glad to hear that November's coming. But again, we got to go back to that informed and disseminating electorate. If we put in office the same caliber of guys that we vote out, what are we really doing?
We're going to get the same crap that we've had for the last 100 years.
Right.
Unless we go out there and we find hundreds of candidates that are constitutionalists, not conservatives, not Republicans, constitutionalists, unless we can find hundreds of candidates that understand the Republican form of government that we were founded under and understand that the U.S. Constitution was written the way it was written to restrict our federal government, we're not getting anywhere. We need hundreds of those people in Congress to get anywhere.
When you look abroad and when you look at the foreign policy, I don't really know if we can call them policies, but the foreign policy disasters that we've seen. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. It's a policy of failure and appeasement. But when you look to see there, and there are so many seriousness, because these guys are going to get him every time they see an example of his continued cognitive decline and the degradation mentally that's going on. And at some point, you know, it's going to his decline is going to outstrip the ability of any medication to stem it or to dull it or to keep it at bay. And these guys are going to be encouraged by that. Is there anyone beyond China that you see acting with greater determination to take advantage of this environment we're in?
I think every bad actor out there is looking for that opening. We were the dominant power of the world probably since World War I. But we have lost that. I don't even think we're second anymore, personally. I think that we have spent and wasted our way out of that spotlight. We've $30 trillion in debt on a fiat currency with no precious metal or any other kind of physical backing. We're Venezuela right before it toppled. I mean, we all know Venezuela was the richest country in South America back in until the 1990s. And then all of a sudden, they're flat broke. They got nothing. And that's where we are. Right now, we're the richest country in the world. But we're one recession, one bad mistake away from our money being worthless. And the funny thing about that, and I talked about this on today's Liberty Minute, actually, paper money has been the downfall of empires and nations and countries throughout the history of the world. Our founding fathers all knew that. Madison spent his entire political career fighting against paper currency. Thomas Paine, in 1791, in his book Rights of Man, he blamed paper currency for England's financial troubles, because the rest of Europe was still using gold and silver, but England had gone to notes, and he blamed paper currency on England's financial trouble at the time. So it was a well-known thing. But for some reason, in 1913, we decided that, you know what, we're better than everybody else. We're gonna use this paper currency thing, and it's going to work for us, even though it's never worked for any nation in history.
So there's just so many things that tie in here, because you talk about paper currency, and I'm thinking of post-World War I Germany.
Yeah.
And and the people, the wheelbarrows full of paper money to try and get a couple loaves of bread or a bag of potatoes. And
right. You got the German mark just prior to post-World War I, before World War II. You got the Russian ruble after the fall of communism. You got Venezuela, obviously. There's many more in modern history where this has happened. There's an African country that's slipping my mind at the moment, but it's happened repeatedly in our memory. Like, I remember the news stories about the Soviet Union and the hundreds of rubles to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But when they would adjust at the end of the fiscal years, when they would adjust their budget, if there was a deficit, they just printed them up the necessary amount of money to cover it.
What's that sound like?
What we're doing right now. You know, exactly.
Right. It's never worked for any other country. So I don't understand. Is that just American arrogance that we think we can pull it off? Or was it because somehow we earned this, global, the global dollar standard, we earned that moniker, and we thought that would save us? Well, what's the BRICS movement or whatever it is, the Russians Russia, India, and China, that would destroy us.
When we again, like I said, this stuff, all this, it's, they say that the best evidence of a conspiracy is its success. And when you look at all this stuff, and you have to get into the weeds on it, and that's one of the things that I think they bank on us not doing, because and there's just like level after level after level of obfuscation, and things are either directly or indirectly related, like a massive spider web, and the tug on one of, you know, one of the pieces of the web over here has an effect on something all the way over on the other side of the web. And it seems to me that it's probably subconsciously, but these bad actors that we were talking about earlier all sense these opportunities and are working in concert. It's like that book, Unrestricted Warfare, that the Chinese wrote about how they're working. And we see it. They're declaring war on just about every facet of that cliche term, the American way of life, from right. within and without. You see it everywhere.
And they wrote it down and published it, and Americans are still, oh, but it's racist to not like the Chinese. It's not about the Chinese people. It's about the Chinese government. It's about
communism.
The CCP.
Right.
Yeah, they wrote it down and said, this is our plan. But then you got, you know, China Joe as president. And, here's the thing. You talk about the intricacy of the conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. I'm more of a just in-your-face kind of guy. I think a lot of us on our side of the political aisle put too much weight into the conspiracy theories that are, in quite honest, irrelevant. And the example I like to use, you know, some people say that, you know, the Jews run the world, and other people say the Illuminati, and others are like the Freemasons. And does it really freaking
right.
matter which group of liberal nut jobs is destroying our way of life? Does knowing who they are change the battle plan in any way, shape, or form? I mean, if we find out that, oh my God, it really is the Jews running the world, does that mean we're going to throw bacon and sausage at them as part of the battle plan? It's irrelevant.
True. That's absolutely true.
So we waste a lot of our own time and energy trying to figure out which one of these groups it is. And in the process of making these claims, we find the people that might be a little in the middle of the road think you're freaking nuts. So we need to stop, in my personal opinion, we need to stop with a lot of the conspiracy stuff. We need to at least hit the pause button and think to ourselves, before I put any more time or energy into this conspiracy, how does that change the fight? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. And if you look at, I mean, nowadays, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of pretense anymore. These guys, you know, there used to be some semblance, there was some veneer of dishonesty or at least plausible denial. But, I mean, that doesn't even exist anymore. And you're right, it comes down to, they're just as easily identifiable by their motivations opposed to where they are geographically or who they are physically. You're right.
Right.
So where can – let's see. I mean, we've gone about a half hour here, Pete, and I appreciate your time. We're talking with Pete Serafine, host of Liberty Lighthouse and Liberty Minute. Where can we find well, we know we can find you here, and do we know – have you guys hammered out what night you're going to be broadcasting with Patriot Nation?
I'm going to start broadcasting Patriot Nation tomorrow, so Friday
night. All right.
Now,
and
here's
what,
my plan.
7 or 8. Okay.
Here's my plan. 2 weeks ago, I guest hosted National Intel Report on Republic Broadcasting Network. And it's a 2-hour-long live call-in show, and they're a lot of fun. But I took the second, you know, I broke it up, and I did the first hour as Liberty Lighthouse last week. I'm doing the second hour as Liberty Lighthouse this week. But since I haven't been on Patriot Nation yet, I'm going to play the whole 2 hours with the Liberty Lighthouse additives tomorrow at – I was going to do 6 tomorrow night, 6 Eastern on Patriot Nation.
Man, that's fantastic.
You can find everything that I do at liberty-lighthouse.com. My show is there. My minute is there. My 2 books are there for you to buy, you know, merchandise, T-shirts, stuff like that. My articles, I occasionally write articles. Had an idea today. I think I'm going to write – it probably won't be a full book. It'd be more like a little ebook type thing. I think I'm going to write a whole bunch of proposed constitutional amendments. You know how you had the Reconstruction Amendments after the Civil War?
Right.
I was going to have the you know, regain control amendments. I just haven't come up with a catchy name for them yet.
Oh, this is great. Pete Serafin, host of Liberty Lighthouse, Liberty Minute, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's going to be every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right?
Correct.
Absolutely, man. This is exciting. I mean, and he's also, you know, he's also a co-host on Mojo 5-0 Radio. Pete's there, and Aaron is there as well, along with myself. I've got a little Sunday show that I do news and commentary. And you want top drawer conservative and libertarian talk radio beyond what you're going to find here at Patriot Nation. Mojo 5-0 is the place to go. If you're not listening, you should be. Because, as I said, it is the very best conservative libertarian talk radio. Pete, thank you so much for spending some time here with us talking about things. We look to have you back, of course, from time to time to check in and let us know what's going on with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Serafin, once again, thank you so much for being here, Pete. And we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow night. Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pete. God bless. Man, that's great.
Bye.
Pete Serafin, this is awesome. And, you know, he does some great stuff on the Mojo 5-0 West Virginia affiliate page. He's posted there a lot. Man, that was good. Looking forward to this. Well, I'll tell you what, we are down to something. Bottom of the hour. And quite frankly, all this talking makes a man thirsty. So I am going to play some music, get something to drink, and we will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this.
Excuse me. Have you ever been in Schenectady?
No, I've never been in Schenectady.
Neither have I. Must have been a couple other guys.
I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toy. I found a new pastime, well on. Whenever I detect members of the other sex, I play the game, I do so well. Oh, I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, watching girls go by, my, my, my. I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, here comes one now.
Okay. James Bostic back here with the Conservative Perspective. Pete Serafine, that was great stuff, man. Terrific guy. I'm glad he came on, and we're going to be hearing from him again tomorrow night, 6 p.m. You can be hearing him on his own show, Liberty Lighthouse, Liberty Minute. You don't want to miss that. That's tomorrow night, Friday, 6 p.m., Patriot Nation Radio, here at blogtalkradio.com. I'm James Bostic. This is Conservative Perspective here on, what I say, Patriot? Yeah, Patriot Nation. Oh, man. Joe got the Rona. Joe got the Rona. If he had his, I'm just, if he had as many sticking out of him as he's had stuck in him, he'd look like a porcupine. I mean, but that's just, but okay. So, and this is the thing, and I want to say this, people got mad. I didn't, but a lot of people did in terms of the whole vaccination issue during the pandemic, which they're getting ready to resurrect here in no time at all. I'm pretty sure about that. I never had any intention of getting a vaccine. I looked at it as a flu shot. I've never gotten a flu shot in my life, ever. My brother, my family, you know, they all got vaccinated. I never fully understood it, but they had made such a big deal about everything, and they had all these people scared half to death. Intelligent people, professional people, educated people. These vaccines were untested. The people that took them were the guinea pigs. And there are a lot more things that have happened to people as a result of taking these vaccines than they have told you about. But there are places to find out about. And we'll get into that some other time. But we were told, you get vaccinated, you don't get this ever again, man. You're good. It's like rubella. When I was a kid, you know, you got the polio vaccine, you got German measles vaccine. Trying to think of something else. It might have been something else we got shot on. Diphtheria, maybe. I don't know if they do that anymore. And then a time test periodically. And people freaked out over this vaccine to where, you know, I should have had a gold star to denote me as being unvaxxed. Or as I like to call it, pure blood. But I don't have any, if you guys want to, I worry because a lot of people I care about and love very, very much got the vaccine. And if something happened to them as a result of taking that vaccine in the belief that they were doing the right thing, that they were protecting themselves, I would be pretty pissed off about that. And that's no joke. And here's what will happen. Nobody will ask those questions. Nobody will make that observation beyond us. Okay? Stephanopoulos is not going to make that kind of observation. What's that George Costanza looking guy? Seltzer. Brian Seltzer. No, Stelter. They're not going to make that. Nobody on Fox is going to make those kind of comparisons. Nobody's going to point to that kind of hypocrisy, that kind of dangerous, dishonest hypocrisy. Because I guarantee you people died unnecessarily who took this vaccine, these vaccines. In the interests of disclosure. My belief is when this whole thing started, I got nailed with it at the very beginning. It came about in November, which was time for my seasonal thing. The symptoms were identical. except perhaps, you know, and they vary. You know, this one was a little more heavy-handed than other times, going back 3 years ago. I never had, and that was it. I never got so much as a runny nose until October of last year. I got pretty sick. And I guess what was there was the original Rona, and then there was Rona 2, you know, Rona Deuce, whatever they want. I caught a dose of that, and I was pretty sick on that one. And there were a couple of nights from a respiratory point of view. I got a little worried, but I had good care. I had people looking out for me, and okay. I don't know. There are those people that consider it, and I'm inclined to agree with them, as a form of biowarfare, because this thing came out of a lab in China, in Wuhan, at a virology lab that, you know, if it's anything like, if it has the potential to be weaponized or to be used against China's enemies, in particular the United States of America, Chinese government is involved with that. In the form of the Chinese military, I guarantee it. I don't care how much money they got from Fauci and Nim and Wham and the Big O and Spectre and all those chaos. It doesn't matter. Joe told us, man. He told us. He said, "Come on, man. You get your shots, you never have to have this. It'll never happen to you again." They're not saying where he could have been exposed to the virus. It doesn't matter, according to Karine Saint-Pierre. I love the people who they've never spoken a word of, you know, whatever the language is. And then you got a, you know, a frilly foo-foo name like Karine Jean-Pierre and people that they've never spoken a word of French in their life, but they'll say that as though they've lived, you know, they've lived in France since their teens, you know, but you know, it doesn't matter where he got it. Well, you know, you guys remember, let's go back and do a little time travel. You remember when, Donald Trump tested positive for COVID? Go back and check that out. See what all was said. How many people were cheering and hoping that he died and all that kind of crap. How much time we got? I mean, he's farting around here. It's random neural firings. Pete was absolutely right in you know, the alloy of what he's saying, and that bill, the one subject, one bill, doctor concept. I like that. That's really cool. And that's honest politics. Really. I mean, that's – and if you got the right muscle to move something like that through, that would be great. That would be great. We'll have to keep an eye on that. I want to – and again – Change.org, support HR 46. You can check it out right there. And like I said, Liberty Space Lighthouse. You want to go all those places and check out what's going on. That was some terrific stuff. But nobody's going to, you know, we're going to comment on the hypocrisy of this thing. And we're going to, you know, we're going to point to these people and show them to be the lying ass bullshitting fools that they are, and beyond that, nobody's going to do it. Hannity's probably not going to monkey with it. Tucker Carlson might. I like Tucker Carlson, but you know, but still, those guys are establishment media. Believe me, if Tucker Carlson was not getting the ratings that he were getting, if Hannity wasn't getting the ratings that he were getting, and it was obvious, you know, that what they say resonates with a large number of viewers on Fox News, they wouldn't be there. If they didn't have their ratings, they wouldn't be able to say the things that they say. That's the only reason they get to, is because of their enormous popularity. And that speaks to, you know, I think that speaks to the entire nation. These people that are trying to tell us that it's normal for chicks, for guys to pretend they're chicks so they can go in the ladies' restroom or so they can compete in girls' sporting events, that's insane. These people that say we don't need any restrictions on our borders, we don't need any restrictions on who's a boy or who's a girl or any of that insanity. Those people are in the minority. They have the microphone. They have newsprint. They have motion pictures. They have media corporations. True. Very true. But they're the minority. What is the strength of this country? You guys. Cats like Pete Serafin, like the handsome one who's lurking around on the switchboard here. He's probably tweezing his eyebrows, getting ready for the show because he's going to look good. They don't call him El Guapo for nothing. But it's not these guys on your cable channels. It's these guys at places like Patriot Nation Radio. It's guys like Gary Benford. It's guys like Pete Serafin. It's guys like El Guapo. It's guys like Kevin White. It's people like Don Newman and Donna Fiducia, Ron Phillips, Rocky Stucci, Aaron Barker. I mean, go look around. I mean, it's easy to find this stuff. You want to change it, okay? I want to change it too. We all do. All right. We thought we had things pretty cool when Donald Trump was elected. And, you know, even in spite of, and look at all the massive resistance, the headwinds that guy had from the time he came down the escalator, saying that he was going to run for president. It's a beautiful country and a great people, the people. Nothing but resistance, nothing but pushback. Pushback and resistance from guys that are supposed to be on our side. Guys that look us in the eye and say, hey, we're with you. Are you? Really? Well, we're with him, so why does it look like you're not with him? Because the guys that are with him, we don't do that kind of stuff that you're doing. They shuffle their papers and stare off in the distance or turn to some other bright, shining light to parrot their manure. We got to know who we're putting in there. And not only that, we got to keep an eye on them once they get there, once we put them in there. And when they don't start, and once they start to deviate, once they start to fail, or cannot be as effective as they led us to believe they would be in terms of looking out to the needs of their constituency, well, then they got to go. They got to go out the door. And we got to find somebody else. Barry Goldwater, long, long time ago, said, the price of peace is constant vigilance. Of course, he was talking about the Cold War, and he was talking about looking at, communist countries all over the world and the threat that they pose to the United States and our way of life, the American way of life, okay? You know what that means, and it's not that cynical, dark, dystopian crap that you see in movies and TV today, man. That's not what it is at all. And you know this. All of you know this. It's one of the truths that we hold to be self-evident. But the price of peace is constant vigilance. And we can expound upon that. And we have to, and what, if we're going to have peace in our political system, we've got to be constantly vigilant constantly vigilant of the people who are involved in that, who are making the decisions. And once those decisions run contrary to the will of the people, changes must be implemented. And you know, the folks that we have on these programs that El Guapo has, the A-listers that Gary Benford has on his show, the outstanding people that Kevin have, you know, every single one of these people, because every single one of these hosts has the same commitment that I do, we're not going to put anybody on the air here to talk about anything unless they know what they're talking about. Okay, you get enough of that crap from me. You don't need it from guests. So to balance those scales, I bring in people who are the most expert and most informed in their field. All right? Because like I said, you know, it's Guap's the same way. Kevin does the same thing. Gary has that same commitment. We're going to bring you quality people, people worthy of listening to. Tonight was no exception. And the thing that I want to tell you is, having been in this business for a little while, and in the last 5 or 6 years, been exposed to some really smart people, Claire Lopez, Trevor Loudon, John Guadalo, Joe Von Pulitzer. I mean, these people it's amazing. Oh, Bradley Sean Witzman. We're going to be doing an interview with him here in the immediate future to be broadcast on he just had his hearing today, and he pled, and he'll be finding out what's going to happen in November based on, you know, he's a citizen journalist chronicling the events that happened on January 6th. And, you know, he swept up in this net of retributive law enforcement, vengeance law enforcement. And we're going to be finding out for him what's going on. Bloody Hill, new documentary out about that day that he was involved with. You want to check that out and see that. I remember in the late 60s, early 70s, I was a wee little nipper. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. But it was becoming more and more clear that our involvement in Vietnam was more costly than the public will wanted to put up with. Politically, you know, we were in disarray. Socially, the late 60s, early 70s, holy cow. There was a great deal of generational upheaval. I talked about generation gappers. A lot of people don't know what that means. But that was a pretty hip saying. And it was a good way to express what was going on. And the younger generation, the kids in their 20s and on down, they ran completely contrary to what their parents were. And there was a lot of frustration, a lot of confusion, a lot of trouble in that area. Socially, the same thing. And it was a time when there was a constant feeling of things being up in the air. And it happened again in the mid-70s, at the end of the Vietnam War. And then Jimmy Carter, oh, my God. Mother of pearl. And then, boom, we see the sunny optimism of Reagan, Ronald Reagan, in two terms there. And a term not quite as sunny, but still effective term from George H.W. Bush, carrying out Reagan's policies. And we moved into, you know, a pretty happy time. And then came Clinton. The pendulum swings. But, you know, if you've noticed, I got to wrap this up. It seems to be swinging to greater extremes, one into the other. And that's something else that we've got to control in order to establish equilibrium. How do we do that? Well, we do that with an informed and disseminating electorate. It's all the time I got, guys. thanks so much for the opportunity to hang out with you and talk about this stuff. Thanks once again, Mr. Pete Serafin, host of Liberty Lighthouse, Liberty Minute. You're going to see, you're going to hear him tomorrow night here on Patriot Nation at Blog Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here he is, without any further ado, El Guapo. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
What's up, James? How's things?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. I know you got a jam-packed show. You're doing your and you're doing your part to find to cultivate that informed and disseminating electorate by having the candidates on so that your listeners can see what's going on with these people, hear what they got to say, and make informed decisions. I hope you have a terrific show, ladies and gentlemen. The handsome one, Mr. Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio Live. Mark, have a terrific show.
Hey, James, you notice too when I'm having these candidates on, it's very unbiased. I'm not backing them into corners. I'm not asking them slanted questions or anything like that. It's very important that we treat the candidates fairly so that people can make informed decisions. Because right now people are uninformed. They don't know what the hell is going on in this world. It's crazy. So here we go. Patriot Nation Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
All right, here we go. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and tonight's guest, we will be speaking with running for school board here in Hernando County, Florida, Miss Jimmy Lodato, returned guest. He's been on numerous times. I mean, he's run for offices for a long time. He's been coming on the show periodically since probably the beginning of the network, the very, very early parts of the network and the show back in 2013 when it started. And so tonight I'm going to kick off this show, an evening devotion and inspiration and a prayer. And this is from Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Science and philosophy has explained so much about our world. However, some things are beyond explanation, beyond even our imagination. So many things are impossible to even understand for humanity. God's love and his plan for us is one of those things. Dearest God, we trust that you have a divine plan, even if I do not understand it. We pledge our faith to you, all that I can give, and yet next to nothing compared to what you have given us. If our imagination wanders, I ask that you bring it back to focus on our faith in you. In honor of your service, my Lord in heaven, in Jesus' name, amen. We will also maybe expand this prayer a little further. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for our nation, our country, and our president, and our whole system of government tries to undermine the freedoms and the liberties granted to us by God and protected by the Constitution of the United States. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you to heal our nation, hear our prayer, and enter back into our courts, our schools, our homes, our communities, and spread your love, Father, far and wide. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I'm going to do this one more time because we got a great show on tap for you tonight. I'm going to be talking about all kinds of things in the second half of the show, including assault weapons, bans, and presidential COVID and all the hoopla that's going on in this crazy world right now. Yeah, check this out. We're going to bring our guest in here in 2 seconds. No, 15 seconds. 15 seconds. We'll bring our featured guest in tonight. Running for school board. Give me that. That was interesting. Let me do that again. I don't know about you, folks.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
My internet's been wonky all week. My phone's been acting crazy. I can't believe I'm even on the show. But without further ado, I got to get my guest in here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Running for another term on the Hernando County School Board on our local candidate series on the Patriot Nation radio show. I think this is our fourth candidate. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jimmy Lodato. Hey there, Jimmy. Oh, that's not Jimmy. That's James Scavetta. I recognize that number. Welcome to the show, James.
Hey, Mark. what happened to Jimmy?
I told him to call him in at 8:05, so he'd be calling in any second.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I wanted to call in last week to give my support for Jack Martin, but I was dealing with some kidney stone issues, so I wasn't able to do that. But, you know, when you get done with Jimmy, I'd like to say a few words because there's so much propaganda going around about Jimmy. There's a letter floating around today that's totally false, and hopefully he'll address that tonight. But, you know, if you can give me a few minutes, Mark, to talk why I'm supporting Jimmy Lodato. He's done so much for the school district in a short period of time that,
but
you know,
he's on hold right now. So if you give me a minute, let me get this going. You mentioned
that
letter.
Yep.
There it is. I have the letter. I'll bring you back in shortly. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, Mark.
I believe this is Jimmy. Jimmy, if you're on the line, press 1. And then I'll know for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. The numbers are popping up. The switchboard's got a couple of callers on it. We're still waiting for our featured guest. There he is. Hey, Jimmy, if you're there, press 1. I want to make sure that the lines are lit up, so I want to make sure I got you on the line, and it's you. But, there's a letter floating around. It's got some bull crap in it. We're going to read a little bit of it, and it's pretty shocking because I know Jimmy for a long time, and I know he ain't none of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Our featured guest, Mr. Jimmy Lodato, live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. Good to talk to you again. It's been
a while. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
And just so you know, this has been a very unbiased interview to all candidates. I'm not asking any kind of crazy questions. The questions that I'm asking are questions like, tell us a little bit about Jimmy Lodato and his history in Hernando County.
Well, I've been here since the year 2000, and I started working in getting this Votech school together in 2012, along with Senator Simpson. And so it's been my main goal to get us a Votech school that will take care of the children who are, we're graduating 1,500 kids a year and 500 are not going to college, Mark. And so the whole intention of this is when you graduate that many kids and 500 are not going to college, and then the ones that do go to college, the 1,000 that do, only 70% of them actually get a degree, and then only 30% use the degree that they actually attained to land a job. But what do we do with the kids who have zero future and nowhere to go? So what we've done is we've set up this school so that way when we open it, these kids will be able to get into HVAC 1, HVAC 2, plumbing, electrical, robotics. There's going to be countless amount of things that we have to get into, including diesel mechanics. And so we're opened up to putting this together so that these kids will get a certification. And at the same time, I represented 17 Fortune 500 companies before I retired. And now what we're doing is that we're looking to bring these companies here so that we will train the kids according to the needs of those companies. And so they'll have a ready-made place to go when they graduate.
That's
now,
really
alongside
excellent.
That, we talked PHSC, which is our Pascal Hernando State College, in joining us. And at the same time, we picked up 18 acres right at the airport on a lease that is a 99-year lease for $1 a year. And we're going to have both facilities there, including the county commission is putting on a government office there. We should
That's
have it
incredible.
Completed and ready to go for the first classes starting in December of 23. So it's been a very, very busy time, and I want to thank Senator Wilton Simpson, who's worked so hard for us to get this done, and the governor for signing the bill. And he brought into the community a total of $17,900,000 to get this done.
Well, that's pretty incredible. That's some good work right there. Some of the other things you have coming up in the school, you know, if you get elected to the school board, what are some of the issues that you want to be working on to try and make the school better?
Let me update you on a few things that you'll probably, I'll just go rapid fire so you'll know. We are in a situation where we brought the half cent in, and so we've been repairing the schools, and we're getting that all done according to Mitten and I put together, John Mitten, along with 13 volunteers. But at the same time, we have a real strong safety program in our schools to keep our kids safe. We are contracted to the sheriff, and we also have guardians in our schools, and we have a very, very tight network to make sure our kids are safe. And at the same time, we've been pushing with the Metropolitan Planning Organization to get sidewalks to our schools because our kids who live within 2 miles have to walk to school, which I think is ridiculous. And so we've tried to get the legislators to move it to a one-mile limit so that way the kids aren't walking in an area that may be dangerous. You know, we don't know what kind of predators are out there. Secondly, we kind of inherited a lot of buses that were old, and so we put together a proposal to buy 50 new buses and replace the tired fleet. And so we should have brand-new buses within the next four-year period. At the same time, we had ESSER funds that came through from the government, the federal government, and also the governor approved it. And we used that money along with some of the money we had on hand from the one mill, and we bought 25,000 computers, so each kid will have a computer coming up shortly. So the thing that we're trying, the thing I'm trying to do is I'm in the business of education, Mark. I'm not a, you know, a person who just goes in and reads poetry to the kids. I'm the person who on the board who makes sure that we have the dollars we need to do the right thing. And for the last 5 years, we've been able to get raises to all our teachers. We just increased the minimum salary to $15 an hour for our bus drivers and all of our people who are at the district level with food service and et cetera. And so the teachers are extremely happy with what we've done. And they have graced me with a recommendation, and they are the ones who are supporting me to come back on the board.
Okay. So you just peaked something to me. I have a friend who's in the school system as a cafeteria worker, and been working there for, I think, 12 or 15 years. And she is now making the same as people who are just starting because of the pay increases. And there were no pay increases factored in for those who were there for a long time. How do we help those folks who were there 15 years and now make the same money as someone who started this year? How do we help them?
That's a great question, Mark, and it's something that's bothered me. What happened when the governor came in and said he was going to elevate our teachers to 47,000, we ran into the same problem with our veteran teachers who were 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the program. And so we had a one mill that passed 2 years ago, and so we pulled 50% of that to adjust the salaries, and that's what we've been doing so far. And we are right now ready to adjust the rest of them to get them to the level where they'll be on a elevated platform where they'll be making more than a starting person who just comes on the job. I don't think it's fair that a person who's on the job 5, 10 years and a new person comes on, like with the teachers, you know, 47,000, some of the teachers weren't even making that. And now they're making, you know, good money because they're getting the extra money from the hats, from the one mill that's been able to adjust the salary. So we moved 4 weeks ago. We adjusted everybody up to $15 an hour. They were supposed to move up a dollar a year, but Senator Simpson pushed the program to get to a $15 immediately. So that's put us well in our way to getting these things accomplished.
Well, that's good news because I know she was really beside herself and upset there. So I, if she's listening, I hope you heard that. They'll be adjusting it down to make it fair. You know, there's not that. That's one of the things when they would, when that cry for $15 an hour minimum wage came out everywhere. I'm like, I've been in my field for 15 years, and if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, I'm going to be like 3.5 steps above minimum wage. You know, I'm just going to be almost a minimum wage worker. You know, after 15 years. That's frustrating.
You know, that's not fair. And as a business person, I approach that with the board. I'm the person who – I'm on the finance committee. I'm on the safety committee. I'm a liaison to the sheriff, a liaison to the BOCC. I try to place myself in every strategic spot that will help me on the planning part of it as far as financially.
Right.
You know,
and,
I don't buy books. I don't do all those things. There are other people who do that.
It sounds to me like because of how much experience and how many connections you have, we need to make sure you get back onto the school board. Now, I don't know if you see that there's this horrible thing that's going around here that I'm sure you heard of it. It's disgusting. And when I seen the names that were on it, I'm like, wait a second here. I know this guy personally for many years now, and there's no way. I've talked to him about things. We've had shows on it. We've even had confrontations on a couple of these things. And I know for sure that Jimmy Lodano is not part of this crew here. But there's things about these books that are going around in the school. And it's pretty disturbing, this letter. I don't even know if I want to read what it says. But, you know, I might as well because they're putting it out for the kids. So, you know what? I'm going to read it. It's too harsh
it's
for
awful,
us.
It's awful, Mark.
Right?
I mean, it is.
It shouldn't be
in
school.
Go ahead and read it. I mean, the person who brought all these things forward, he stood in front of the board, his wife and himself, and started – he even has a video out there where he acts like he's Mother Goose, and he's reading all these nasty things on the Internet. And kids are watching this. You know, that's not the place to do it.
We're not going to mention the cowboy's name today, but folks –
No.
Because he's not here.
Not at all.
I don't want to have it, you know, say nothing. But yes, he's doing like story time and reading. It's horrifying. But anyway,
it
this
is
what's
terrible.
In the schools. The first one comes for Looking for Alaska by John Green, found at the Fox Middle School. And it goes, have you ever gotten a blow blank? Laura unbuttoned my and pulled my boxes down a little and pulled out my penis. And she wrapped her hand around it and put it into her mouth. Folks, this is at middle school for kids. And I'll just read that's enough right there. It says, this isn't Lehigh County, Virginia. These books were found in the Hernando County school system. Sexual indoctrination, critical race theory, radical gender ideology, and Black Lives Matter, all found in Hernando schools. Now, current school board members have turned a blind eye to all of this. They simply don't care that we do. And then it goes on to name a couple of school board members, including Jimmy Lodano. Jimmy, I know, based on our conversations since 2013 and 2014 when you were running for other offices, that you are not on board with this crap. You know, we've had some shows where we talked about critical race theory and things, and I know where you stand on everything, and I know this letter is a lie. It is put out and is paid for by Government Gone Wild PAC out of Tampa. And I find these kind of things during election season to be atrocious and rubbish. The personal attacks on people just to get ahead and get a seat on a board, to me, is disgusting that anybody would even put that out. Why on earth can't we just get back to vote for me, I'll do this, vote for me, and I'll do that? Instead, it's vote for me or you'll get this guy and this is what he does and we're going to break him down and try to destroy him and ruin his life and insult his wife and trash his kids. And why is it gotten so nasty? This is the thing of the left, I this. I don't understand why it's so nasty. What do you think these people are so nasty that they would put a tax so vile against good people? These people know they're good persons. They know that, but they will go out and they will say something like this.
Yeah. Well, why, Mark, you know, there are people out there who are always trying to be a detractor and try to stop you from doing things. This feud of mine goes back to 2012 when I jumped in a race, and I'm a Ronald Reagan Republican, and the people in this community, when I paid $3,700 jumping in a race, treated me like I was a pariah, and how I should never do that unless going to the leadership and kissing his butt. Now, people who know me know I don't kiss butt. I'm a man who believes in my Lord God, and I'm a Amen. Person who bows down to politicians. And that aggravates local politicians who want the power. And this gentleman who's always in it, Mr. Government Gone Wild, we all know his name. His name is Blazing Golia. And the man just sits there and he just spews hatred everywhere. Well, if you don't abide by what he says, well, you're not going to stay in office because he's going to figure out how to get you out. And so I've never listened to his crap, and I'm not going to listen to it now. I am here to fight for my teachers, and I'm here to fight for my kids. And I don't condone any of this in a library. And first of all, these books, that book that you're making reference to, hasn't been checked out in 5 years. Now, I've only been in office 3.5 years, so my question is, who the hell bought it to begin with? But then when you find out about these books that are in libraries, you find out that the DOE, the Department of Education, approves these damn books. And so they buy them and they put them in the library, and then they sit there forgotten for years. All of a sudden, somebody finds it. Oh, well, Jimmy Lodato's behind this. How the hell could I be behind that when I just got on the board? And we don't buy library books. The board does not buy library books. The district buys it.
According
at the
to
level
this letter,
of
you
library.
Guys all support it, you know. You guys support
it. I'd go berserk if I saw this. But to read this in public and send this thing out, I mean, this is a blatant lie. And it bothers me that a person will go to those lengths to get a person elected who, of course, they put $30,000 in her account by this man's tax, which he hides by giving it to other people to do.
The whole thing
is, you know, when you see these things and you see them putting it on the internet and you see it, you know, nasty words like this, you know, out on the internet where our kids are watching it, they should be ashamed of themselves. You know, you shouldn't do things like that to try to get yourself elected. If you want to get elected, just go ahead and jump in the race and do what I do. I don't talk about anybody, but this has infuriated me, and that's why I'm going to speak out on it. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not into dirty politics.
Critical race theory. Mark, you know how many times I've been on that board telling everybody there will be no critical race theory? I said if I found a teacher and I heard these candidates, oh, I have 50 people who told me this, that they were being taught in the schools. And then I ask around and nobody will come up. And then I ask the person who said they had 50. I said, give me one. Give me one and I'll take them over to the Commissioner of Education and I'll let them deal with them. Because if you can't teach scripture, then why would I allow this theory, this so-called theory in our schools? Come on. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, we had Coach Joe Kennedy went and take his case all the way to the Supreme Court, and with a victory for prayer, public prayer, at the 50-yard line at a football game. So that was pretty impressive. We had his lead attorney on last week.
I agree. I mean, people have to stand up. You know, they have to stand up and be counted. I mean, this is what our country is all about. That's why we all
and
here.
I'll tell you.
You know, and,
I'll tell you
and it offends me when somebody says something bad about our country.
You can't pray to Jesus, but I bet if you came from Saudi Arabia and you came to Spring Hill and you wanted to pray five times a day, they would make accommodations for that person to pray five times a day facing Mecca.
Of course.
Praise Jesus,
but I can't, you know. You can't even say a simple prayer in the school. I mean, that's sick. I mean, why can't you say if you want to?
You can now.
Well, the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Thank Coach Kennedy for that one. He took that case all the way to the Supreme Court. And I think prayer should – I think you should do, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day. All praise and glory to you. And now the Pledge of Allegiance. Why not?
Mark, I tell you, it's just like, you know, the things that offend you also offend me. You know, all this time that I've been here working, I work pro bono. I don't turn around and, you know, sitting there looking for a salary. I give away things. You know, I don't need it. I'm just there to try and make a difference. I'm an old man. And I have to tell you, I've had my opponent come back and say, I'm old. I should step aside. You know, I shouldn't be doing this. You should let somebody young do this. Well, let me ask you. How old is President Trump?
Right.
You know, he's going to be 78 when he runs again.
Yeah.
Would you say that says that President Trump is too old? Yeah. President Trump is too old to run for office, if that's what it means.
The difference in the ability between President Trump and President Biden is miles and miles.
Not even a question. The man is a walking zombie.
And when I watch this guy squinting at the teleprompter because he can't see it, he's squinting.
Yeah, well,
like, not only. Look, I think what's happening right now to this old man is a travesty. I think they are committing elder abuse against the president. I think his wife should be ashamed of herself. And I think she should go hire some more tacos to mow the grass.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, you know, it's a strange world we live in now with COVID the way it was. It made people meaner than I've ever seen it before. It's to a position where you just can't understand why people are so mean. Why can't you be nice? Why can't we sit down in a room and talk things out and figure out how we can solve problems? You know, we have a situation, you know, with mental health with our kids. And thank God for Ralph Mazzullo. He's going to put a facility over on the border of Citrus County and Hernando, and Senator Simpson was involved in that. So now instead of Baker acting the kid the way they do and hauling him off to jail, they're going to be able to take him to an area where they can get help. You know, we're trying to make changes.
Hallelujah.
And then we have want to bring a school together here for kids with special needs, like the Pepin Academy. And so it's a charter school. I don't care if it's a charter school. If it's going to help our children, I want it. And so it's a different way that we think, Mark, than a lot of the people do. And so, you know, what I've been asking for is, do I want to do this? Well, I would have liked to have finished it in one term, and that was my intention. However, you know, when Ron DeSantis got elected, that's when I got elected. And we put before him the proposal on the VOTEC school. And at the same time, we had a hurricane on the panhandle, so the governor vetoed it. And that's understandable because how did he know what he was going to be facing financially? But the next year, when we brought it before him again, he vetoed it again. And what was the reason? Of course, we had COVID, right? So for 2 years, this project has been delayed. And then in the third year, which is my third year in, Senator Simpson became the president of the Senate, and he said he was going to do it. And the man did it. And quite frankly, we have named it, you know, Wilton Simpson Technical College. We named it after the person who brought it here. And I'm so damn proud of it. And so I'd like to finish the project. I'd like to be able to get the companies matched up with the kids and give them the completion of the future that I've talked about. And there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way I do.
And this way, when you take off the suit and tie and put on some shorts and flip-flops and sit in the chair, you could be proud of what you accomplished.
Right. And when I just outlined all the things that we have done during this time period, the half cent of $120 million, the fixing the schools. I mean, you've seen James Gavetta. James Gavetta, he didn't like the half cent I brought forward, but the schools were falling apart. And I had no choice. As a volunteer, John Mitten and I, as co-chairs, we made it happen with 13 volunteers. So James Gavetta jumps on the committee that is the oversight committee, and he was against it. And now he followed it and followed it through the years, and he saw that we spent the money as we outlined, just according to plan. He never let anything escape through the cracks. He always backed them down if they tried to do it. And so I'm proud of people like James. You know, he's a person who does things pro bono.
Welcome to the show, James Cavetta. Say hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Jimmy.
James. So good to hear you.
Yes, thanks for the kind words. I just want to let people know out there that you know, I've been friends with Jimmy probably 2012, 2014. I'm not sure. We've been through thick and thin. We butted heads up on several different projects, but it never affected our friendship. We always worked. Jimmy had different views, and I had different views, but we both knew each one of us was just coming from the heart. We just had different way of doing it. And of all the candidates out there, Jimmy can tell you.
James, you know where I met Jimmy, right? For the first time?
Why?
I met Jimmy for the first time in the Shadowhawk gun store.
Really? Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. And you see, the problem with all this propaganda that's going around about Jimmy, and I hear it everywhere I go. Now, Jimmy knows I am not a fan of the school board, and with the Black Lives Matter, the mask mandates, the Antifa, the stand they took in the last 2 years. But Jimmy is the only one I would like to see remain on the board. I'm not a fan of the superintendent or anybody else on that board. But in all fairness to the board, you cannot, as our county commissioner is trying to do, blame every problem that's going on in the county on the school board. Because if I had to pick one or the other, I have far more issues with our wonderful county commissioners than I do with the school board. And, you know, that is the thing. And I told them, before you're going to open up someone else's closet and look for skeletons, the county commissioner needs to open up their closet and see how many bones they have in there. And Jimmy's like me. He's not connected to any group or any other special interest that every other person in this county running for office or in office, just about bar none. That's why I'm such a supporter of Jack Martin for Congress and Jimmy Lodato. And right now, there's only a few people I'm actually, voting for, because I know the ones who are connected, and 9 out of 10 politicians or people running are connected, and that's why Jimmy's not liked. I'm not liked. You could see that, I couldn't qualify. I'm not going to blame everything on the 4 months I lost when my appendix blew up, but, that was part of it. But the other part of it, I had no support, no money, no anything. And Jimmy is, like I said, he doesn't answer to these special interest groups. So for that one reason alone, he's despised or hated, and all this propaganda going around by, like you said, there's several people who run things, and they're trying to discredit him. And it's working pretty good, because a lot of people are falling. Several of my friends today contacted me about that letter. They were all up in arms, and I try to explain to them that it's not true. And I just want to leave it with one thing. If you don't care, if let's say Jimmy, you think he made a mistake on some of the issues, the one single thing that is the best thing that has ever happened to Hernando County in the 35 years I'm here is this VOTEC vocational school. We talked about this. Me, Jimmy, a friend of mine, Leo Jacobs, who's no longer with us, for years and years and years. And I'm not going to say there are other people who I don't know that I know were responsible for this, but this single one person who stayed with it, dogged it out through hurricanes, through China flus, through the whole thing, he fought, and he dug his teeth in there, and it's Jimmy Lodato. So I don't want to hear about this and that. He is the man who's going to bring this. This is going to be the best thing. We have our own fire academy, police academy, the trade school. And I know I come speaking from the heart. I'm a high school dropout, so I would have loved to have programs like this available for me, because there are thousands and thousands of kids who just after high school, they don't need college. They don't want college. So Jimmy's the man for that. Jimmy's the man to reelect. Let him do his term, and he knows he's got my support. Don't believe the propaganda. Just vote for Jimmy. He's the man.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, James. I appreciate those kind words.
Thanks for your call, James. I'll put you back on hold, and you can listen to the rest of the show, brother.
Yeah, I'll listen to the rest of the show, Mark. All right, take care, guys.
let me tell you of another problem that we're having. First of all, our schools are in great financial shape. We have 9% reserves. The state requires 3%. If you fall below 3%, the state can take you over. I've been fighting very hard to keep high reserves because we're going into a recession, Mark. There's no question in my mind we're in it already. And so in order to be able to keep everybody on the job, I have to keep reserves on hand to go through another couple of years of maybe some harsh times. And so I've been criticized about keeping too much money on hand by certain candidates. But needless to say, I don't like ups and downs in the economy. I don't want to have to tell a lunchroom worker that she's hired this year, but next year we have a problem with, you know, our finances because of the recession, and I can't pay you anymore, and I have to leave. That I won't ever do that. And so I plan in advance. I'm a master as far as planning because of my background. But we have a situation going in this county you should be aware of. There are 11,000 plus homes, about 11,400 homes that the county commission has. Have you heard about it?
Yes. You don't want to hear another number that's alarming over the next 20 years. I think it's 20, maybe 25. 30,000.
There'll be 30,000 more homes here. 30,000 in the next 20 years, according to them. Now, we have 11 on hand right now that they're actually building. Now, here's the problem. For every three schools, there's one child. So we're sitting on 4,000 potential kids who are going to be coming here once those houses are completed. Okay. I went back to the county commission, and I said to them, I don't have the facility. We're at maximum on many of these schools, and there's no way I can absorb 4,000 more kids into the school system. I would like to ask for some help, and this is what I'm asking for. For years, I have been fighting for them to put in this so-called, you know, pariah that they think of, which is called impact fees. Now, impact fees, I'm sure you know what they are. A person comes into the community, and they want to build a home. They pay a certain amount of money. And through the years since 2008, or actually went back to 2006, they discontinued a lot of the impact fees. And totally in the county, all they collect is $2,000, and the schools collect three. In most other areas, like in Pasco County, their impact fees are $17,000. Now, let's look at it in the right way. You have Hobby Lobby sitting here, Bonefish Grill. You have Oak Hill Expansion. All of these restaurants and everything that are all up and down 50, they didn't pay any impact fees. And so without impact fees, do you know who pays for the impact into the community? The people who are here already. And so do you believe that we should have to be the person or the people who absorb that? So I've been telling them for years that they wouldn't do it. Now, all of a sudden, they're finding themselves in a bind. And so they're trying to ask for a half-cent sales tax for themselves. So the feeling is this. I have 4,000 kids to bring in here. We go to the county commission and we say to them, we have been a good steward of the half cent and it's a 10-year program. Allow us to extend 10 more years into the future, which takes us into 2035, and we will bond the money that is necessary to build enough additions, not new schools, onto our schools to accommodate those 4,000 kids. You know what the answer was? No. They wouldn't let us put it on the ballot. They said they had the right to tell us that we can't put it on the ballot and let people decide. And
not
so
only that,
we got into an impasse. We got into an impasse with them. Right. And so all of a sudden, they're saying no. We're saying we have to do it. 4,000 more kids, Mark. Where do I put them? And so now we're sitting in a situation where we had to file a lawsuit.
Now, the 4,000 is a local.
Yeah, 4,000. And so here's the problem. The problem is we're sitting on a situation where we don't know what's going to happen because the lawsuit is not a lawsuit that's just kind of, you know, a money type of thing. It's a direction from a judge to state whether we have the right to put it on there or whether they have the right to keep us off. That's all it's about. And we have to August 14th before we can put it on the ballot. We have to have a yes before we can put it on the ballot. And they're fighting like hell to keep us off. Now, what do you think of that for cooperation?
It's kind of shocking because I know some of the guys on the commission, and you think they wouldn't be fighting against it. But going back to the 11,000 homes, 4,000 suits is a low ball. But you figure,
oh yeah,
if it's, that's if like all, half the houses have one kid. What if two thirds of the houses have two kids? Now you're talking.
Well,
like
that's exactly right. You're absolutely right.
11,000 houses. Each house has two cars. That's 22,000 more cars on the roads that are falling apart.
Exactly.
When are you going to fix the roads?
Okay, so here's the thing. The county says, okay, give me a half cent. And I say, okay, for what? And they said, we're going to expand our roads. Okay, which roads? And they say, well, we're going to use 80% for fixing roads. But you're not specifying, I said, what roads? You know, when we did the half cent, we specified every school and every dollar we were going to spend in each school. And James Cavett can tell you we followed it to the point of ridiculous, but we've done it. So why aren't they accountable to us when they're asking for a half cent? Why should we give them a half cent if they're not going to identify what they're going to spend it on? And secondly is, where's the oversight committee, you know, of non-politicians like we did to make sure the money's going to be spent where they say it's going to be spent? How can I trust them?
Right.
How can you trust them? And so that's the point.
I drive down Spring Hill Drive.
It's good for thee, but not for me.
When I moved here in 2002, the Spring Hill Drive was still being upgraded. So the road is 18 years since it's been upgraded, and it's falling apart. Potholes. Like, it's really bad. And,
it's awful.
And they want to bring in more and more and more people, but there's no road project scheduled to repave Spring Hill Drive or to widen. Like, I was driving down Northcliffe the other day, and they have grass partitions. I think it's time to get rid of those grass partitions and put in a turning lane and pave that road. Because it's
totally agree.
Trying to make a left turn into that little space in between the grass, like. It's really dangerous. We already have 300-plus car accidents, not a week, a day in Spring Hill.
Yeah.
So we're having big issues already, and the 11,000 homes aren't even built. So we're having to have overcrowded roads. I was hollering this week on one of the pages about whose bright idea was it to close Rogers Park in the middle of summer. I can't believe how much grief I got saying whoever did that is stupid. Because
that was brilliant.
School goes back in session August 10th. Well, you know, they're doing it to save the manatees. Okay, the manatees are swimming up the river on August 11th. Well, it takes a few months. All right, it don't get cold enough for the manatees to want to seek the rivers until November.
Why did
they close Rogers Park in the middle of summer? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard or seen. And I don't care. I don't care what anybody says or thinks. It's stupid to close Rogers. What about they're like, well, they can go to Pine Island. Well, listen, last time I went to Pine Island, if you're not at Pine Island at 6 a.m. before the gates open at 7, you're not getting in. And
you don't
get in all day. And now there's kids there whose parents may not have a lot of money whose parents both are working. And the only place they have to play and swim and mess around is Rogers Park. Oh, well, they can go down to Linda Peterson Park. Well, yeah, what if they're on the other side of the road? They can't go all the way down. They're little kids. They can't ride their bike or walk down Shoalline Boulevard to Linda Peterson Park. So now you're just cutting off these kids' summer because you want to save the manatees that aren't going to swim up the river until November. It makes no sense. I understand you want to protect the animals and the wildlife. I love manatees. I love wildlife. Why do you think I want to preserve the nature coast and so that we can call it the nature coast for decades?
Yeah. Oh, look at all the money they're spending over on the reserve. Why did they buy that building? To develop it, you have Shoreline Drive that is a one-way in, one-way out. I mean, it's only two lanes. And what are you going to do with all that traffic that comes into that facility that they paid, $1 million for a parking lot? So
crazy.
They can put people into the preserve, and they're going to really put a tremendous amount of pressure on the people at Hernando Beach. But they came forward and tried to stop it. County Commission didn't want to hear it.
They want to put like a Sunwest Mine type place there, Sunwest Park type place. And they call it a preserve for a reason.
It's a preserve. That's the aquifer in there. You don't want to be poisoning our water.
Squeeze out all the wildlife get rid of all the armadillos and the turtles and the foxes and the panthers and the coyotes and all the things that live here in the wild of the nature coast.
That's right.
You know, you got people on the left that scream about the environment. Well, how come they're not screaming about this? They must have some investment in it.
Well, there's a lot of people in Hernando Beach that are very up in arms about it. They didn't want it there. It's called, you know, preserve the preserve. I think April Johnson's been fighting it big time with all the people there, but they didn't listen. They didn't listen to any of them. They just went ahead and did what they wanted to do, which brings you back to the fact that, you know, it's good for thee, but not for me. And coming back to let me give you a thing. We'll bounce back to one more thing on this library thing, okay?
Yeah.
Mr. Holcomb went into a public library, and he had it on the Internet, that he found a book that was very, very offensive in the public library.
Yes,
now,
I've seen
here's
it.
My question. Yeah, here's my question. Why didn't they find it before?
Right.
Why did they find it before? It's like it could have been there for 10 years. Oh, now they found it. They found a book in there. And so they make it a big thing on the Internet. Oh, I found the book there. Well, who is the library under? They're under the county commission. You should have found the book because you're blaming me for a book that's been on the shelf for 8 years. I've only been in office for 3, but since you found this book, let's go ahead and blame Jimmy for it. You know, he must have bought it. Well, I didn't buy it. I didn't even know it was there. You know, I'm telling you, Mark, it's an insane world.
You know, at one point I liked that gentleman. You know, he ran on no taxes and then raised the taxes. Like, to me, that when people do that, to me, it doesn't matter what kind of excuse you come up with. You ran on no taxes, so I voted for you because you want not to raise my taxes. And then you raised my taxes, not once.
Yeah,
a couple of times.
Mark, this is a good one. You'll love this. Your house, say it's valued at $200,000, right? And that was last year. And this year, it's valued at $250,000 maybe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the county commission comes back and said, oh, we're going to reduce the millage by 0.3%. We don't raise taxes. And I said to them, really? Well, a $200,000 home that was evaluated at $250,000 this year, did you keep their value as of last year's value, or did you assess them for the extra $50,000? Well, of course, it's at the extra $50,000. Well, then you raised taxes, didn't?
Right.
So you sit there and tell me you're not raising taxes, but you're raising taxes. But you do it in a roundabout way. Well, here's a good one. What about our garbage service? Do you know they put garbage service on your tax bill in Spring Hill?
Yeah. They cranked
up
our tax.
They're on the New York Stock Exchange. They're a private company. You know, they're a public company. And yet we have to help a company that is on the New York Stock Exchange and put that on a real estate bill. And if a person don't pay their real estate bill, what do? Do they take away their house? Do they sell the certificate? Putting in another garbage bill on top of their real estate bill. That is stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
At us.
You know, and what stinks is a lot of the guys in this county, we have a lot of the same thoughts, feelings about certain things. And then when you see, or at least you believe they do, and then you see the way things go, and you're kind of like, wait a minute, you know? It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I see every day, when you look at the news and you see the Congress up there and they're fighting back and forth for each other. It's like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You know, we put these people in office and they think they got to stay there for 45 years. Should put a damn limit on them. Get them out of office. What the hell is this if they don't get 8 is enough and get them out?
That's what I like about Sheriff Nugent. Sheriff Nugent went up to Congress. He said, I'm going to do 2 terms and I'm out. And he promised that. Then he was like
he
you. He had things that he wanted to continue to get accomplished.
I know.
So he ran for one more term. He got it, did what he had to do, and he retired. He didn't stay there as a career. He didn't stay there for 30 years. He said what he was going to do, and he did it. And that's what we need. We need guys to go up there and say, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm trying to accomplish some things. When I'm done, I'm leaving. Stay there. You know, back in the day when the Constitution was ratified and we started this great system of government and George Washington was the president. The guys went to Congress 4 times a year. They went up there. They
wrote some bills. They voted on some bills. They passed some laws. They all went home and became blacksmiths again, and they ran the shop, and they,
yes,
you know, painted, whatever they did. They didn't stay there all year making laws, stealing freedom, or any of that stuff. They went up there four times a year, and they voted on things. They went up once a quarter, and they did business, and they went back to their lives. And that's the way it should be. That place should be closed.
Absolutely.
But, you know, 2 weeks every quarter.
You're right. You're right. But the fact is, you know, we keep elections the same. Here's a good one. You're going to love this one, Mark. You ready? A person runs,
mm-hmm,
for state rep here, right? It pays $30,000 a year. But they accumulate in their war chest, you know, first of all, $100,000 or $150,000 to just get into office. Who's giving them this money, and what do they want in return?
Right.
Right? I don't take donations from anybody who ask anything of me. I just don't.
And,
my war chest, it has nothing in it. But I won't accept donations from people who want something in return, and I make sure they understand that. Okay, so now we have a person who's running for state senate, $2.5-3 million war chest for a $30,000 a year job. Who the hell's giving them that money?
That's what I don't understand. Like, why are these people dumping so much time and money into something that pays $30,000 a year?
Yes.
What's the plan?
Yes. That's a great question. Why don't we ask them that damn question? You know,
why
is it that they want to be there so bad? And then they come in, they go in, and you look at their net worth, and when they come out, they're multimillionaires?
Yeah,
Jesus,
you know.
What kind of a world are we living in that we allow this?
Look at this maniac out in California, Nancy Pelosi's husband, pulling off these great deals right before the stocks tank. Like, what?
Yeah.
Little insider training. Nancy calls up her husband.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart. Hold on. Let me sip my cocktail here. Hold on. Sweetheart, did you hear this stock? The stock is going to go. It's going to tank. Buy some shares quick, you know. I don't know. Insider trading there up in Congress is ridiculous. I don't know how it's legal for them and illegal for everybody else. I guess once you make it up to that big building of the Capitol, you don't live by the rules and the laws of everybody else anymore.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, they're above the law, which that irritates the heck out of me. And one thing I'm really glad of that I've seen in the news recently is the lead person on the January 6th committee, Liz Cheney, has no chance of re-election. She will not be re-elected.
Good.
Her career is over in politics. Thank
Good.
The Lord. Thank the Lord.
Absolutely.
She's 20%. She's 20 percentage points behind in the polls. She has no chance. That is great news. You know, if I lived up there, I would vote for the Democrat over her.
Well, I have to tell you,
she's like a Democrat. So, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, she is, so that's not a big deal. But you know, it's a strange, strange thing. I'm a Republican. You know, Ronald Reagan Republican, and you know, this is a nonpartisan race. I try to tell people, you know, I'm in office. I don't represent one party. I represent 24,000 kids. I represent 48,000 parents. That's what I represent. I was elected to do that job, and that's how I feel.
Right.
But the thing that bothers me most about this is that, you know, for instance, Trump, as he was running for office, he tweets everywhere. And I heard Republicans here locally, some who are very prominent, said to me, I can't vote for Trump. I just can't. I said, okay, why? And they said, I don't like his tweets. I think it's terrible. I hate his tweets. I said, but have you looked at what he's done? Yeah,
right.
But I don't like his tweets. I can't do it. He's a businessman. He's not a politician. He wasn't going in there to, you know, please one party or the other. He was there to do a job.
Make a safe and productive country for his son, Barron, who's raising up.
There you go. There you go. That's what we do. We try to make the next generation better.
And right now,
if you have
the left is trying to make the next generation.
If you have any questions, you know, bring them up.
So we're getting close here to the end of the show. If someone wants to help out here, this run up to the primary, which is August 23rd, folks, I believe mail-in ballots are here. One great thing that our governor did, if you're caught with more than one ballot, $50,000 fine and possible jail. Hallelujah. I love our governor.
There you go.
What a guy.
There you go.
there you go. That's the right thing to do. They shouldn't be voting.
If folks wanted to help Jimmy Lodato get elected, volunteer, go knock on doors, do something like that, how can people contact you?
Well, all I'm asking them to do is, I've been endorsed by the teachers, you know, and the parents are behind me, and I have a lot of people who are in the education field that are. And so all I'm asking everybody to do is just spread the word. Spread the word that I'm trying to do the right thing for our kids. Look at what I have brought and outlined. Look at the Bowtech school. Look at the fact that the school district is in such good financial shape. Look at what we've done for the bus drivers and raising their elevations and food service and everyone else. We're looking ahead to try to do the right thing. When I say we, you know, everybody thinks that one person on the board can make a decision, but it takes three to make that decision. And so you have to convince the others to go along with you. And for the last year and a half, it's been so much easier because we're, you know, kind of in tune to everybody doing their own thing, and they leave me alone when it comes to doing the business of education. And that's my strength. So if y'all want me in office, you want me to finish this project, then tell people who are saying these nasty things about me that they're wrong, and get them out there to vote for me on the 23rd. If they want it finished, they want these kids to have a future, let me finish my job. If not, then God help the one who comes behind me who won't know how to do it.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Patriot Nation Radio Network supports Jimmy Lodato for school board. If you want to help out, spread the word. Tell all your friends about the great things Jimmy's done with the vocational school and all the things he's doing, the fiscal responsibility that he brings to the table, his financial smart things that he's pushing forward for the better of our community, including expanding the schools to accommodate 4,000-plus new students that will be moving into 11,000 houses that have already been pre-approved by the fun and wonderful fiscally conservative BOCC, Board of County Commissioners of Hernando County. You know, these guys are supposed to be conservatives, and they're sure are spending a lot of money and doing a lot of crazy stuff up there, but who knows? Jimmy Lodato for school board, folks, if he's your man, vote Jimmy Lodato for the school board. You won't be dissatisfied. And, of course, folks, with any candidate that you vote for, remember this. You cannot agree with every single thing that they say or do. If you do, there's a problem, because you're going to find some things that you don't agree with. And believe you me, if you want to talk to Jimmy about something you don't agree with, he will gladly talk to you. I guarantee you. He's accommodated me every time since I met the guy, coming on my show, and will answer any question you have. So Jimmy Lodato for school board, ladies and gentlemen, and Patriot Nation Radio Network backs him 100%.
Thank you, Mark.
You got it, Jimmy. And good luck in your race. What was that? A commercial?
All right, Mark.
Jimmy, thanks again
Thank
for coming
you.
On.
Thank you. Gave me, just give race. Me a call, Mark. My phone number is everywhere. I tell
yes,
people
sir.
To
Thank
call
you.
Me if there's any kind of a problem and they have it at 2 in the morning. Don't wait till 8. Call me at 2 in the morning. I do answer my phone.
Hey, I'm looking at the switchboard here real fast. I know I only got like a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. But someone raised their hand. Do you mind if we bring them on? Maybe they have a question.
Bring them on. Yeah, bring them
That's
on.
Good. I asked my crew to screen the call, but they didn't see it. Hold on. Hey, you're in the 813 area code. You raised your hand. Who's on the line?
It's Carla.
Yeah. Hey, Carla. How are you?
Good. So I actually have a really good question.
Here we go,
ladies.
Go ahead.
Is there a game plan for the mechanics for the buses? Because we had such a obstacle last year, and from what I'm seeing of new news coming in, that we are looking at another bigger obstacle this coming school year.
Yes. I don't know if you remember the last meeting we had the discussion. I brought it up that we have 9 mechanics are supposed to be there. We were down to 3. Now we're down to 2. And so what I have asked is, can't we elevate the paycheck for mechanics that match up with what is on the outside? In other words, when you send a bus to a facility, it costs us possibly anywhere from $130 to $150 an hour, okay? The problem I have is that the mechanics that we have are underpaid and underappreciated, and the fact is every time we try to make a change, we have to go through the union. And so I've asked the union to move forward to try to elevate the paychecks of that job. And, of course, they're saying, well, according to what the specs are on that job, that's what it pays. So I went back to the board, and I told the board, why can't we create a new description of what the job is, and that way we can elevate it to a competitive salary so we can attract mechanics in-house. And at the same time, I don't know if you know it, but we're moving to do diesel mechanics at our Botec school. But it's not going to help us this year, and that's what I'm concerned about. So at the next meeting, you'll see me bring it up again that I want a new creation of jobs for the mechanics that we need at the higher salaries so that they can be competitive with the other industries.
Sounds good.
Amen.
I'll be there.
So now I have to convince two more people on the board to go along with me so we can get this done. And I've already told the union that I'm bringing it forward. So there you go.
Awesome.
Great news.
All right, that's it.
Awesome. Thanks for the question, Carl. I appreciate it. Sorry it took me so long to get you on there. I asked my crew to screen the call because it said 813 area code. But thanks for the question. Jimmy, I want to thank you again for coming on. And good luck in your race. I hope you win. We need you.
Well, thank you, Mark, and I want to add something to Carla's thing, too, that the people who are running for office against me and several others have stated that they want to cut salaries. They don't want to raise them. They want to cut expenses down to the bone without even knowing what they're doing because they don't even come to a meeting and find out what's going on. I've never seen anybody that's running against me at a meeting. So how would she know how to do the work I do? But at the
that's
same time,
call
that's happening throughout the district.
Yeah. We need Caller and Pam on this with you.
Yeah, well, Pam works hard. She gets out there and she rides the buses and she gets involved.
Yeah, we had her on.
Pam's a hard worker. She rides the buses just like I do.
We're into overtime. I got to wrap up here. Ladies and gentlemen,
all right, Mark, thank you so much. Call me at any time you need me.
All right, thanks, Jim. All right, folks,
God
make sure you tune in. God bless you, too. Tune into the Patriot Nation Radio next week. Don't know what the heck's going on. I will have David Hart, Walking Dead Marine, going to join us next week. We're going to send him a check this week. We raised a little bit of money. He's been in the hospital. He's got MRSA. He's very ill. Very sad situation there with our friend. We raised a little bit of money. We're going to send him a check for $100. Wish it was more. I really wish it was more than that, but we raised $100. If you would like to chip in and help the Walking Dead Marine, before we send a check out, you can PayPal me at Patriot Nation Radio on PayPal. That's a capital P, Patriot Nation Radio, and that's a PayPal. And we'll be sending that check out here in the next day or two. So you got maybe 1 or 2 days if you want to donate. That's at Patriot Nation Radio on PayPal. And I will be sending a check. He'll be joining us next week. And I'll be digging up a candidate to come on next week also to join us as we continue with our candidate series leading up to the August 23rd primary. And with that, I want to say good night. God bless America. And this is the Star Spangled Banner, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Storytelling Edition, so you can find this version. Get it today at DaveBrayUSA.com. Don't forget LibertyRush.com, social media without the Libertard of Rhetoric. And here we go, the Star Spangled Banner by Dave Bray. This has been another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Until we meet again, folks, good night, and God bless America, and God bless you. Peace.